Okay, I'm just trying to think of... there was a man who said this before. Okay, I've shared this illustration before, but it's very encouraging. He says, last time when I was a young believer, I would ask God for small things and He would give it to me. Right now, at an old age, I can ask God for big things. I know God will give it to me as well. All right? The man that I'm talking about is George Mueller. George Mueller, in his last interview with a particular pastor who was writing an autobiography of him, went into his room and contrary to some of George Mueller is not like Spurgeon. Okay, Spurgeon had a big library, you know, those olden libraries whereby you had to use ladders to climb up to the top, and he had thousands of books. Whereas George Mueller, when he went into his room, only had a few things. He had his bed in the room. He had this kind of like a wooden table at the side. He has a candle, all right, and he only had one book, the Bible, and of course a chair. And George Mueller is known for his faith. And George Mueller reads the Bible four times a year. Four times a year. He doesn't read the Bible four times a year. He meditates on the Bible four times a year. And that was in his autobiography. No wonder his faith is so great. And in terms of just seeking God, just with God's Word. How many of us would say they read the Bible four times a year? There was one pastor who wanted to challenge himself to read the Bible through once every month. And he says the strategy is if you spend 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes in the night to read, and he's assuming the Bible to be about like this, and he's saying about if you read slowly, apparently you take about 1.5 minutes to maximum 2 minutes to read one page. Just read. We love Him because He first loved us. Your men say, if you just read it normally, you probably can do one page in about 1.5 minutes. And he's challenging himself to read the Bible once every month. And his rationale is this. How am I going to build my faith if I don't know this word? And he's a pastor. And he is challenging himself to read that, okay, to build faith in his life. Another question that is use many times is, or rather, our challenge us is this. If you are in a crisis right now and you pray, how confident are you that God will respond immediately? If you are in a crisis right now, there's a something terrible has just happened, and you pray, how confident are you that God will respond immediately? If you take that question and you peg it to this verse, in 1 John 5:14, John actually said this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, John says He hears us. And not only that, in verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now, let's put it together. How many of you believe that God hears your prayer? Put up your hand. We do, right? Okay. How many of you believe that God has answered your prayer before? I'm sure you have, right? But many Christians, so I know God hears my prayer. But if we are strictly biblical, if God hears my prayer, it leads therefore that God should answer my prayer. Right? Then the next question that leads us in prayer is, when was the last time you know that God specifically answered your prayer? You don't have to put up your hand. Specifically answer your prayer. Can I say this? Many things happen in life. Many things happen in life that we can attribute it to what we call the sovereign will of God. And God actually wants to bless us, and therefore it happens. And I've heard of... I'm sure you heard that this statement too. Oh, I didn't pray for it, but you know what? God still blessed me. He does. As parents, we bless our children, right? Maybe one fine evening, you bring back a packet of ice cream, and everyone's like, I never asked for it. Like, thank you, mommy or daddy. You know, you want to bless your families. God is like that. God gives us... God gives us a good life. God gives us our food. God provides for us. And these are all God's provisions. But you know what? To say that God has answered my prayer, we must actually be very sure that we have prayed specifically. Because how are you going to know that God answered your prayer unless God prayed, or unless you prayed specifically for a particular request? Does that make sense? Example, I ask God, Lord, specifically, we cannot pay installment for our church van. Lord, we need you to provide. The church van costs $41,800. We raised $42,500. And I had the privilege of telling the members, you don't have to give anymore because we have got enough. And what a blessing it was. As for me to live the biblical experience that Moses lived. Remember, Moses called the people to bring, and in Exodus, he said, guys, enough. We got more than enough. And it was truly a blessed thing to be blessed by God's people. And God uses His church to bless, all right, in that sense. But we're going to look at 8 prerequisites. Now, if you're in a category, say, actually, Brother Johnny, you know, I know God has answered my prayer, but really, I haven't really prayed specifically. It's just that it happened, so I just thank God for it. If you're in a category, I'll give you 8 principles that is very important that you make sure that it's in your life, so that from now on when you pray, I challenge you to pray specifically. Example, Lord, save my cousin. Lord, help me that my Bible reading life will change. Example, okay? Be very specific. And then you can actually see whether God is answering. God answers prayer all the time. But sometimes we don't take note of the outcomes, and so we don't know whether God is answering our prayer. All right? Okay? So let's go through the 8 things. I put at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so you can just write. I don't know whether it's too small. I suppose I have this thing about trying to save paper, so... Okay? But you can expand and write around it. All right? 8 things for prayer. Number one, if you look at... We need to firstly pray according to God's will. Okay? Pray according to God's will. Sorry, in verse 14. And this is confidence that we have in Him, that if you ask anything according to His will. Okay? Number one, we need to be praying according to His will. Now, what does it mean to pray according to God's will? Anyone? What does it mean to pray according to God's will? What does it mean to pray according to God's will? What does it mean to pray according to God's will? Pray. Okay? Praying in line. Okay, the meaning of praying according to His will means to pray in line with biblical principles and God's word. Okay? So when a person says, God, I pray, I'll touch 4D. Is it in line with Christian principles? No. Okay? So we need to be very aware. Some people, sometimes when they do wrong, all right, just from a friend many years ago, he's a Christian, he said, God, you know I've done wrong, but you know what? Please protect me from the consequences. Now, if you've deliberately done wrong, you cannot pray that. Think about that, huh? If we deliberately done what is wrong, we cannot actually pray, God, protect me from the circumstance. You may plead with God, but you know what the proper behavior should be? Lord, I'm willing to bear the consequences, but you know, Lord, thy will be done. Okay? So we need to be praying in line with biblical principles. And we need to check ourselves sometimes when we pray, am I praying in line with what God would have me to do? Okay? Any questions on that? Feel free to ask questions, all right? This 8 principles. Number one, we need to be praying according to God's will. So if we pray for our loved ones to be saved, is it in line with God's will? Absolutely. Will God answer? Let's look at the other 7 prerequisites, okay? Because remember, it's to be taken collectively. Number one, we need to pray according to God's will, number one. Number two, we need to pray in faith. We need to pray in faith. Let's take a few verses. Maybe I'll have Jacob, if we can turn to Matthew 21, 22. Then Jeremiah. Okay, no. Jeremiah. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Then we'll all turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 22-24. Okay, we all turn to Mark 11, 22-24, but I just have those two brothers read that. Okay? Okay, Matthew 21, 22. We need to pray in faith. Yeah. Amen. Next one. Okay, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then in Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Okay? Then let's look at Mark 11:22-24. I'll just read. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For surely, or verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But Brother Johnny, I prayed for $10,000, I didn't get them. I believe God can give, because he's so rich, he will give me. There are other things, all right, that have to be considered when you pray in this. But you know what? Faith is a very important prerequisite. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 6 again. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, right? Question is, do we ask in faith? What does it mean to ask in faith? Anyone? What does it mean to ask in faith? What does it mean to ask believing? Okay, how many of you, I'm sure many of us have been praying for the salvation of our loved ones, yes? All right, so what do you mean by asking faith? Do you believe that God will save them? Okay, so what do you mean by asking faith? What does it mean? Okay, so what are the, okay, so there's faith, but what might be the evidence of that faith? If you know my question, what is the evidence of their faith? You say to ask in faith, right? How do you practicalize it? How do you operationalize it? How do you say, okay, I need to ask in faith? Okay, so what am I supposed to do? So I ask God, please save my so-and-so. I believe you. If I pray for someone to be saved, believing that God will save them, I will then actively do something. You know, I was thinking through this principle. Asking in faith means, I say that God's going to save the person, I will then actively take steps towards that. Because if I believe in something, then I'll do it. Sorry? Expecting great things from God and then attempting great things for God. Let's look at Hebrews 11, all right? This is a very important, I believe, biblical principle of faith. Didn't James say, faith without works is dead? Think about that for a while as you correlate this with prayer. Hebrews 11, verse 6. In that verse itself, there is this act, okay? And after I go through Hebrews 11 for you. Hebrews 11 says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that will do what? Diligently seek Him. There must be an action related to faith, okay? Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 11. Now take you through the action of these people of faith. The Bible says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What did he do? Prepared an ark. You know, he was doing something in the eyes of men was silly at that time. Because there was no rain at that time. They don't even know, Noah, why are you building this gigantic thing for? Why? Oh no, God says it's going to rain. Rain? What is rain? You know? What do you mean by rain? We haven't seen rain before. You know what Noah said? Look, God said it's going to rain. Water's going to flood. God asked me to do this. I'm doing it. Okay, no rain. He did it for 120 years. You know, sometimes when we do certain things, after a while we get tired, right? You know what Noah had to persist 120 years. He did it in faith. There was an action related to faith. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Obeyed and went out. And you know what? Not knowing where he went. That's faith. But Brother Johnny, you know, it's a bit funny to not know what to do and then you ask me to go. If you know everything, you don't need faith. If you know everything, you have all the details, you don't need faith. No, many Christians want to live within their comfort zone. You'll never grow in faith if you don't step out. If you actually don't step out. Okay? Let's look again. Look down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Notice the action again. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Abraham received the promise that he's going to have a generation through Isaac. By faith, When God says you offer up your only son that you believe. You know what Abraham said? He believed that God can raise him from the dead. That's faith. For God to be willing to say, God, I know you're going to do this. That even if you take away what was supposed to be the thing to fulfill your promise, I know you can still do something else to fulfill that promise. Okay? That's faith. If you go again to Hebrews 11 and verse number 27. Okay, this is Moses by faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can you see God who is invisible? Or do you panic at the things of life? How God holds life. And faith acts. He said, God, I know this is going to happen. Therefore, Lord, I'm just praying and preparing the way. Okay? So when we talk about asking in faith, we have actions of Abraham, we have actions of Jacob, we have actions of these people. Questions for you when you ask in faith, what is your action? What is my action when I say in asking faith? I can tell you that the place that the Lord has given to us, we ask in faith, it was impossible. We cannot get it. But you know, having the Lord, if you, my prayer was, Lord, if your will for us to remain in the north, we need a permanent place. We cannot keep moving. Lord, things are getting tighter. We cannot constantly have this. But you know, it's by faith. Because the odds were stacked against us. But God opened the door. Amen? By faith. And Christian, we need to ask in faith. If you ask in faith, you do something about it. Alright? So, any questions? Number three, we need to ask in faith. The prayer test involves obedience. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. The first one is pray according to God's will. Second one is faith. Number three is obedience. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Okay, let's read that together. Okay, ready? One, two, go. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Okay? So the Bible is very clear here when it talks about we ask, we receive. Why? Because we keep His commandments. Right? Do you realize there's another level? We not only keep His commandments, but we also do those things which are pleasing in His sight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. We not only obey God, we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, God, I'm willing to go beyond. My heart is all Yours, Lord. Remember? I said, remember in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. That they come to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you know that God will reward you, if you know your boss is going to reward you, you do all you can to please Him. Agree? If you know that if you know that at the end of the day you're going to get just monetary things, big bonuses or whatever, if you do the work and make your boss happy and you do a lot of extra and the boss is a very fair person, you do more, you give more, you definitely do much. You know, as part of the discipleship kind of training in our church, one of the things I'm going to touch about is specifically about obedience. Do you realize obedience to God is so important? Even more important than our abilities. God would rather use a donkey for Balaam. God can use anything. But you know what? God wants obedience from us. One of these days I'm going to talk just on obedience itself. What does it mean to obey God? But I can tell you, obedience opens up the resources of God so much. Because God says, I can trust this person. He's going to follow me all the way. Joshua. Remember Joshua? Know why Joshua was such a successful military man? Do you know what was his military strategy? He needed to study Sun Tzu, Art of War. No. If I'm not wrong, today our military generals or whoever, they actually study some of the principles. Even in businesses, they use Sun Tzu. You know Sun Tzu, a very famous military tactician, I think. You know what was God's principle for Joshua to conquer the land of Canaan? What was the formula? What was the formula for Joshua? Sorry? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, Joshua didn't fight that. He said, yes, Lord. You asked me to do this work. And you're not concerned about how strong we are. Can you imagine those people under him? Hey, guys, God says, this is how we fight Jericho. Meditate on God's word. Huh? All right, this is how we're going to bring down the walls of Jericho. We're supposed to walk one round. Huh? I thought we're going to like fight. You know, the guys are ready, you know. Nope. But the Bible says what? You know what the man under Joshua said? Whatever you say, we will follow. As long as God is with you. As long as we can see that God is with you. Whatever you say, we will follow. You know, with any Sunday school teacher, with anyone, as long as you can see God's life is in that person, follow that person. Children, if you see, listen to children, if you see God, your dad and mom trying to live for God, follow them. Don't follow your friends. Roger?
Roger.
If you see your Sunday school teachers trying to live for God, follow them. Okay? Very important. Obedience is such an important thing because God says here, God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. But when we are disobedient to Him, listen, God doesn't remove Himself from us. I want you to think about that for a while. Many times in the equation, when we disobey God, we oftentimes think God walk away from us, right? Do you realize He doesn't? God does not walk away from us when we disobey Him. We walk away from God when we disobey Him. God remains where He is. Agree? All right? And children, when you disobey your parents, what do? You try to hide, right? The parents got nothing wrong. It's exactly the same. God wants to bless us just as a parent loves the child. But you know what? When a child decides to go against the parent remains where he is. Child moves away. He cuts off the blessings. Not because of the parent, but because of the child's disobedience. How do you restore that? Come back, confess your sin. And then you get things right again. God's blessings come on you again. All right? Okay? Obedience is very important. Any questions? Feel free to ask, all right, as we go on. Number four. In John chapter 15, let's turn there. John chapter 15. We need to abide in Christ and His word. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says, if you abide in me, the word abide means if you dwell with me, if you stay with me, if you pitch your tent beside me, if you will not move away from me, Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. And my words abide in you. Let me ask you a question. Which part of God's word is abiding in you today? Did you read God's word today? Are you pitching your tent beside Christ and not wanting to move from Him? Is His word constantly in your mind? I know when we do our work and all that, yeah, we get distracted. But you know what? A genuine heart after God, that after all the tiredness of the day, your compass will gravitate towards north, Christ. We'll actually say, Lord, thank you for this day. You know, Lord, you've been so tired. And you actually say, Lord, I'm sorry I wasn't able to speak to you as much as I would like to. But God, now I'm coming to you. I've got a free time. I want to pray. And God, I need you to speak to me. Are you abiding in Christ? Or are we like, sometimes, I must confess, sometimes we get so tired, we just zonked out and come home, right? But you know, that's where I believe one thing, as a Christian in Singapore, the only way you live your Christian life successfully is through discipline. You just tell yourself, I've got to do it because it's right. In other countries, say, I wish I was in New Zealand, I wish I was in Australia. Oh, you got a lot of free time. I can tell you, discipline too needs to control your life over there because it's so much free time. All the more in Singapore, we need to control our minds whereby we say, Lord, I'll discipline my mind. So easy, right? How many of you read the article about teenagers? One of the teenage person had, 16 devices? Like, 16 electronic devices. I don't know. She says that we cannot live life without technology. What in 1980s, they say up to 1990s, the generation is called what? Generation X. You know what Generation X? Okay, just some learning for you. You know what's mean by Generation X? What's Generation X? Anyone? Now, the idea is that, you know, Generation X, the teenagers are very practical, firmly rooted on the ground, X. Then there's Generation Y. Generation Y is like this, right? Very easily, very emotional about things, very emo, very unstable one. Now the next generation is what? Called what? Linksters. What linksters? They're all connected, linked. They cannot live without technology. They're called linksters. You realize it's an idol if you are in that category that you cannot live without it. The only person that you cannot live without is the Lord Jesus. Think about that for a while. Because God says if you put anything ahead of me, it's idolatry and it is sin. Right, Johnny, you cannot apply it that way. And you meditate upon that. God says you will have no other graven images. Isn't this a graven image? Graven image got 5, 3. We need to be very careful. Let nothing come between you and Christ. Okay, I'm not saying technology is evil. I used to think so. I thought computers were from Satan until I started using. But you need to be very careful. Okay, don't let anything come in between your relationship with God. You need to abide in Christ. Christian, your number one friend should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your technology, not your other friends, or whoever friends you have, not your career. Your number one friend need to be Christ. You know what? Because that is a prerequisite for answers to prayer. Jesus said so. If you abide in me and my words, what I tell you is the governing principle in your life. Whatsoever you ask, you have it. That's what he says. Okay? Any questions? This is what Jesus said, right? Look at verse number 16. 15. John chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever he shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Abiding in Christ and his word is the number 4 principle that we must have in order to have answered prayer. Number 5, turn to James chapter 4. We must have pure motives. Pure motives. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Now, we need to have pure motives when we actually ask the Lord Jesus Christ for things, or Heavenly Father. It is possible to do a good thing or ask for a good thing, but to do it with impure motives. When we talk about impure motives, means motives that when we really look at it, actually is for our own outcomes, for what we personally want. I learned this. This is a very hard truth that I have to learn, but I've learned this from this great man of God, George Mueller. He said in his prayer, of course we don't live by what he said, but he's very decisive in terms of how he believed. And looking at his life, God surely blessed him. You know what he said? I can ask for millions of dollars today and know God will give it to me. And there are many, many instances where he prayed. Remember there was one situation he was supposed to preach in America, and the captain of the ship said, look, you better go and pray. I don't think you'll make it for your appointment. You know what Josh Mueller said? I will. And then the captain wanted to pray. He said, you don't have to pray. God's not going to answer your prayer. You know, God has already answered mine. Look at the weather. The weather cleared. He was there at his appointment. I mean, he had this kind of life. But you know what he said? When we pray for something, determine, look very carefully that there is nothing of your own will in their prayer requests. Not even a speck of your personal desire must be in that prayer request. Otherwise, it dishonors God. Wow. You know what he's trying to teach? Submission. God, I surrender all. I put my requests, my desires before you, Lord. But you know what, Lord? Your will, not mine. I'm not saying you cannot tell God your desires. But you know what? At the end of the day, the prayer that you give to God must be empty, totally empty of personal desire and ambition, okay? Pure motives. All right, the question I ask is, think of a request that you have asked before. Think of a request you asked before. And then ask yourself, honestly, Lord, based on what motive did I pray? Based on what motive did I pray? What is my intention when I pray for certain things? Is it for I'll give you an example. Let's say I have a terrible time. Say, God, get me out of this. Lord, I know you can deliver me. What is the motive of this person? If I had a hard time, and I'm praying, God, you deliver me out of this. What do you think is the motive or intention of this person? Sorry? He wants to get out of the situation, right? Yeah. Everyone wants to. Survival. But you know what? Biblically, didn't Jesus also went through that? He wanted to get off the cross. But you know what? We need to learn from him. Be honest with God, but still choose to follow him. And what did Jesus say? It's not what I want. Lord, if you want me to stay in this situation, I will. You know, Lord, I will submit to you. Because can I say this? God may have other plans when he puts us through a tough time. And that's when our heart is in that kind of mode, it is very easy for God to answer your prayer. Because God says, I can trust this guy. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions? Any questions on that? Any thoughts? Pure motives is so important when we ask God. Okay, point number 6 now. Agreement. When we pray, there must be agreement. What do you mean by that? In Matthew 18:19, the Bible says, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. When we pray in agreement with another believer, Jesus promises to be with us and he will answer that prayer. This is a very important principle for corporate praying. You know, I was just observing this. Do you realize in the English congregation, nowadays you don't really hear amens at the end of prayer? Maybe this Sunday, you just take note. We don't actually see. Either people are shy or they slap. We don't actually say amen at the end of a collective prayer. Maybe the prayer, the person who prays must pray louder. When we were attending Sister Isabella's grandma's funeral wake, and when the Teochew congregation, firstly the Teochew was you want to learn Teochew, you attend there for 6 months, I think your Teochew will improve. Okay, this one. But you know what? Collectively, when they pray at the end, everyone will shout. They don't actually say amen. They shout amen. All right. Everyone together. You know what? That's collective spirit. As a church, we need to learn that. At the end of the prayer, say, amen. What does amen mean? What does amen mean? Huh? Sorry? So let it be. Lord, so let it be. Lord, whatever we have prayed, amen. Lord, so let it be. Okay, children? What does amen mean? Don't be shy. Uncle Johnny just gave you an answer. So what does amen mean? So let it be. Now as you pray, so let it be. So let it be. Okay? And let's pray heartily. We need to have agreement. You know why? Because as a church, when we pray, can I say this? God is actually watching out and say, are you guys together on this? Think about that for a while. Are you guys together on this? Because God knows that it's as a church, when we pray, we're not together on something. Satan can come in to destroy. All unity is so important in the local church. That's why in prayer, agreement is so important. All right? Point number 7. Look at Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6. Another point about a prerequisite of prayer is in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives what we call the model prayer, right? Okay. Now, this prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," is oftentimes known as the Lord's Prayer. It's actually not the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord Jesus didn't pray this prayer. He was giving it as a model, an example to the disciples. When you pray, say, it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's a disciples' prayer. This is how they should pray, a model for them. Okay, the genuine Lord's Prayer is found in John 17 when Jesus prayed. Okay, now in this, you notice in from verse 9 to verse number 13, Jesus gave the entire model, but interestingly, this is how he ended in verse 14. He actually talked about forgiveness. I preached on this before, but interestingly, at the end of the model prayer, Jesus actually talked about forgiveness. He said, "For if ye forgive their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You know, a prerequisite of answered prayer is forgiveness. It's your willingness to forgive someone else the offenses that they have done to you. Because if you don't forgive them, God says, "I cannot forgive you." Because then there is an offense between you and me. Then your prayer falls flat. And I believe that many people, perhaps today, maybe even in our church, that may have bitterness, you know. I hope none of us have bitterness in our hearts. Because bitterness is a cancer that can destroy your Christian testimony and destroy your life as a Christian. It eats you up from the inside. Okay? Bitterness is a terrible thing, whereby in Hebrews chapter 12, Paul actually teaches, don't let any root of bitterness grow, because it destroys you from the inside. After a while, you become a very unpleasant personality to live with. And no way is people going to come to Christ because of us anymore. Alright? What is bitterness? Bitterness always starts with what? What is the first step of bitterness? Okay, unforgiveness, but okay, always starts with an offense. Now at the offense stage, when someone hurts you, you have a choice. Straight away, to forgive or to hold on to it. Yes? You know, many Christians, we hold on to it. You know why? What should we do? What should we actually do? We need to forgive. Forgive. For those who went to the church care, remember Richard Wurmbrand? When he came back from the persecution, what's the first thing he did? He forgave the colonel for persecuting him, for doing that to his immediately. Alright? He didn't even know why. He would just say, "I forgive you. For hurting me, I forgive you." So he did it straight away. Because if you hold on to it, what happened? It's kept in the heart. You know why you keep the hurt in your heart? You know what's the reason? Pride. Pride. Because your pride has been hurt. And what happens is that if you allow it to fester, it actually eats up. And from there, you hold anger. Anger becomes bitterness. And bitterness, it becomes to affect. See, when we don't obey God in anything, it corrupts us. And it spreads. And bitterness is a terrible thing. And you know what? God wants unforgiveness to be rooted out of you. Because otherwise, even if God answers prayer for you, you won't receive it in the correct spirit. Okay? So unforgiveness have to be removed. Okay? Any questions? The last point, let's turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, the last point. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Let's read together, right? Ready? 1, 2, begin. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Okay? So, Isaiah is very clear. Huh? God can save. God can hear. God can reach out. But it's our sin that separated him from us. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers are with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness, none calleth for justice, nor pleadeth milk. So he just lists sin after sin of the Israelites. Okay? So, point number 8, sin must be kept out of your life for God to answer your prayer. Sin must be kept out of your life for God to answer our prayer. Because God also said in Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And God is serious. Just like if my children offended, Isaiah 66 verse 18, just like if my children did something that is wrong, whatever they ask, you can forget about it unless you settle this first. Does it make sense? God says, if we keep sin in our lives, I will not hear you. Full stop. If Ambassador Baptist Church as a whole have sin that we don't deal with, you know what God says? I'm not going to bless you until you deal with them. That's why sometimes as pastor, it's very hard to be a pastor because you have to confront sin. You know why? It's not to shame that person, it's to open up again God's blessings on everyone. Does it make sense? And we need to have the proper understanding of dealing with sin, because the idea of dealing with sin is to remove the hindrance so God can bless again. We need God's blessings, amen? We need God's blessings, and we cannot afford not to have it. But if we choose to live our own lives without God's blessings, we are in big trouble, and especially if we choose to live sin in our lives, you know what? Ultimately, the one that suffers is us. If I as a pastor keep sin in my life, you know what? Everyone suffers. Do you realize that? Can I say this? As a church member, if we live in sin, the person that we talk to most in church and the congregation itself, God doesn't see us. God sees us as individuals. But when we are part of a local church, God wants to see how the entire group works together. Remember many, I think it was the beginning of last year, we preached on the principle of one man. One man, I will preach it again, in unity, one man. You know what? Gideon said that God says that we will smite the Midianites as one man. In other words, everyone in line, everyone united as they face the enemy, God looks at Gideon as one man. With everyone together, the 300 as one man. One person, we've united by one purpose, one God, one unity, one spirit, fighting the battle, one man. But if someone steps out of line, God says, hey, there's two. What are you guys about? What's happening there? We need you to get together again. Alright? Christian unity is very important for blessing everyone. Yeah, we all have our differences. We all think differently in some ways. But you know what? Are we able to still put aside the difference and say, God, this is one man. I'm not talking about doctrine. Doctrine, we absolutely have to be one. Absolutely have to be one. But God's intention and purpose is. But when we have sin in our lives, it actually blocks prayer. Fathers, when we have sin in our lives, we block prayer. We actually block sin on our families. Okay, mothers as well. Children as well. You know what? Satan can use a small sin and disrupt the entire family. And this is what we need to be very careful about. Okay? So, the last point is we need to essentially keep sin out of our lives. Absolutely. Okay? What is sin? What is the definition of sin? Transgression of anything that breaks God's law. Is a bad attitude sin? Is bad attitude sin? Thank you, Joseph. Well done. Is bad attitude, that means, don't listen if I like that to my mom. Children, look here. Is that sin? Do you realize that is sin? Because, children, you may like that only, huh? You know, God has a verse for the children who do eyes like this. The ravens of the field will pluck out your eyes. But the ravens don't pluck it out before the person dies. Because if a person says, you can shake off the birds, but it means that when we actually have that kind of attitude, you know why? The Bible is so true because God even deals with that. When you look at our parents like this, it's actually rebellion. I don't want to listen. Okay? A bad attitude is sin. It is sin. Why? Because it's rebellion. I don't want to listen. Okay? Remember, the definition of sin is anything that breaks God's law, whether in the letter of the law, by principle, or the spirit of the law. Okay? If I say, I hate that person, I don't love that person because of something, is that sin? Because it's a direct contradiction to God's command. Love one another as I've loved you. That's a command, a new commandment, imperative I give unto you. That's what it means to be a Bible believer. If you're truly Christians, let's just live by the law. Right? There are other promises there. You can read through the final questions. Okay, do I have a regular prayer life? Number two, did I recently receive an answer to prayer? And what must I do to have a better prayer life characterized by answers to prayer? Let's look at the verse again. 1 John chapter 5. Before we close. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Okay, so that's the first part. God hears our prayer. But notice the second part. In verse 15, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. If God hears us, He will answer our prayer. That is a direct connection. Okay? As a genuine Christian, we must be able to say, I know what it means to have God answering my prayer. How many of you have lived life, maybe in this church or other churches, whereby for a long time, really, you don't really hear specific answers to prayer? You know, many times, long time in my life as a young Christian, even right as I was growing up, I don't really understand what it means to... I know we need to pray. I know we need to pray, and I know God will answer prayer. But, you know, knowing is one thing, but actually seeing it happening is another thing. Agree? It wasn't until we started the... I learned a lot in these 8 years of pastoral ministry. God had to teach me a lot of things about prayer. We had prayer retreats, and we see how God immediately, we prayed for people to be saved. Immediately, I remember, immediately after a prayer retreat, the person who was resisting salvation for so many months, on a Sunday, after the prayer retreat, went to that person and said, I need to get saved. You know, and God actually does that kind of work. And I realized, huh, we were able to pray for the van, we pray for the place. You know, these are continuous answers to prayer. Christian, when was the last time you had answer to prayer? I'm talking about specific. We need to challenge God. Christian, if we have never had an answer to prayer, specifically when we pray, we need to say, God, we need all these principles in our life. Check these 8 points. Is this done? Am I obedient? Am I praying according to God's will? Or is self very strong? Am I able to know what God's word is? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Getting rid of all this, there's sin in my life. You know, there are two types of sin: things that we do and things that we don't do. Things that we do and things that we don't do. When we know it's right, we don't do it. It's sin. Okay, and that's a challenge of the Christian life. And I hope you don't feel, oh, Brother Johnny, got so many things to listen to. When we want to follow Christ, it's not a burden. Okay? Any questions as we close? Yes. Yes. Correct. Daniel chapter 8. Okay. Now, that will be found in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, in verse 20. And whilst I was praying and speaking and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication, I was saying, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even a man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused of flies, touched me about a time and informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I'm come forth to give thee skill and understanding at the beginning of thy supplications, da da da. Okay, but before that, yeah, you did. It's also mentioned there how the Prince of Persia does interrupt our prayer. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Okay, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, okay, in that situation, I believe for us as a church, we have learned this spiritual warfare. Okay, spiritual warfare. In order to be in this situation, that Satan has to take note of your prayer, you must have been an upright person. That's why the prerequisite is still very important. If there's sin in your life and all that, church, Satan don't have to worry about you. Because God's not just going to answer your prayer. However, if you are walking with God, you are serving God, you know what is right, and you're doing it with to the best of your ability and strength and all that, and just like Daniel, and you're walking with God. God, I know that something... And you know what? Daniel was confessing sin continuously. You know, Lord, I'm sorry and all that kind of thing. But you know what? Daniel had nothing to confess about as far as his own life is concerned because he's pure. All right, he's righteous as far as God is concerned. But you know what? In this situation, there was satanic opposition. It is possible. It is possible. We want to shift. We believe very much that God wants us to move on another level of our church. But I can tell you the amount of things I've had to go through for the last 6 months and still going through. It's just mind-boggling. But you know what? What was your question? The important thing is, when you know that you are praying in line with God's will, when you have honestly, sincerely, and even checking with friends around you, hey, am I doing something that is wrong? But of course, I'm praying. No, I think it's same. At least outwardly seems to be right. And in your heart, Lord, really, I'm not doing this anymore and that, and I've forgiven this person. And you really make all the checklist. And God, is why? You know, I mean, why is there no answer? You know what? You just keep pressing on. Okay, now ask God to open your eyes with regards to where, what direction and all that. Yes, you keep praying. You keep praying because sometimes God may be silent. But you know what? God is not silent for no purpose. Remember that. Okay? In this situation, when Daniel continues, you know what? Daniel not only was praying, he was also fasting. Okay? And one of the things is, if you're really serious about your answer, you fast. Because fasting brings answer to prayer too. But you know what? It brings satanic opposition too. And I'm not being charismatic. This is in the Bible. It does happen. Satan does interfere. Satan interferes in our lives every day. But you know what? Daniel was on the brink of doing what? Receiving God's revelation that will take him for till Jesus comes. For the whole of history of men. It was a big thing. You know who's the prince of Persia? It's actually another name for Satan himself. Satanic opposition. Okay? What's modern day Persia? Sorry? Iran. Okay. Yeah. So in that situation, if you have your heart, you know your heart is right, so to the best of your ability. If you know that you're not in any sin or if people are giving you feedback, you know, I think you're walking right with God if someone comes and email you and say, oh, there's something I need to confess that. You know, whatever that comes, just get rid of it. Okay? Making sure your life is in line with what God says. And it's still the answer is not here. And it could be two things. One is that part, or God may want you to readjust your prayer about something else. Or what you're praying may not be what God wants you to pray in the first place. So there's a lot of permutations. But you know what? For yourself as a Christian, as you pray, you must be willing to learn whatever it takes. Lord, open my eyes and I'll follow. Okay, and if there's something that in your life, that maybe it's time to get someone else to read in on the prayer, give you some biblical principles that you may not have considered, so that you really open yourself to God's blessings. And you really take the step of fasting and praying if you need to. Really asking God, what is that you're asking me to do? What is that you're asking me to do? Okay? Does that make sense? So it means you keep praying, but take all the... Basically, get rid of things, making sure that things are clean. If you just keep going, and then ask God, open opportunities. Talk to people, trusted people, you know, that give you biblical counsel. Be very clear with your situation. Why is it that you're asking? Okay? And sometimes the answer, Paul, for example, asked God 3 times to be healed. But eventually God said no. You know, one of the principles in there is sometimes when we pray a few times and we find that it's not coming, it may be time to... there might be God's answer. No. It's definitely according to His will. And His... yes, according to His will. Correct. We need to pray according to God's will, definitely. So we need to be clear. Say, Lord, and maybe one thing is that, Lord, is there any of personal will in there as I'm praying for? Okay, sometimes it might be confusing because sometimes we don't know ourselves. But it's always best sometimes to talk to someone else who can give you spiritual insight into what you're asking. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So God has, yep. I know Josh Miller prayed for someone who got saved after Josh Miller passed away. 5 years after he passed away, the person got saved. So, yeah. Hopefully that answers your question. Okay, very important. Pray. Keep going. The key thing is that we need to be persistent in prayers. Sometimes God may say, I want to see whether it's really serious to you or not. Yeah. Any other questions on prayer? Yes. Okay. Sure. Mm. Sure. I think it's important in that situation. I've learned one thing. Just because a person say no, doesn't mean God has finished with him. Remember, when we pray, we're not praying to that person, we're praying to God. So if the person shakes fist at me, doesn't mean it's a sign. You know, as Christians, sometimes we always take things that happen as signs very quickly. We take things as signs. The person shakes his fist, therefore, he's never going to... I might as well stop praying. No. In fact, our love for the person is that, no, the more the person shakes fist at me, the more I'll pray for him. Because God delights in overcoming these kind of people. And then bringing back to Christ. I had it before. There was one guy who said, get out of my life, you know. And right now he's back serving the Lord. Because of prayer. And just constantly just praying. And Lord willing, we'll see Huang Hao on Sunday. Right? Seemingly off. God is still working out. You know, he's not safe yet. But you know what? We need to keep persisting. Remember, when we pray, it's not at that person, it's directed to God. Our love for this individual, regardless of his response, should provoke us to constantly lift him up before Christ. Does it make sense? And it's hard. It's hard because you want responses as well. But I think the challenge is when God doesn't answer, but we know it's God's will, we keep praying. And for me and my wife, we're still praying for in-laws to be saved. Okay, they're old. But you know what? We just had dinner last Sunday with my father-in-law. And you know, last time I used not to be very free, my father-in-law, because of spiritual things, Christian things. But I can tell him, no, Father, you are 75 years old, and you can still enjoy. Jeremiah, how many meat we have? 6 different types of meat on a dinner table. You know, at the 75 years old, he can still eat, he can still walk, he can still enjoy crayfish. And say, I was able to say, you know, God has blessed you. All you can do is smile. You know what I'm doing is just sowing seeds, just watering the plant. I've shared with him the gospel before, just sowing. Just constantly. So right now, my interaction is always from a spiritual perspective. Yeah, we talk about other things, but always constantly reminding him. Because we know if we get the dad, we get the mom. I mean, that's our strategy, but God may want to change, so we cannot. Because my father-in-law is a very hard person. You know, if God is able to save him, my mother-in-law is going to be a breeze. Okay? And putting faith in Christ. So, amen. Any other questions? So, feel free to still ask me, email me. Remember, what I'd like us to do is constantly have this communication. Like on Sunday, remember I asked you all to write down some issues and all that. It was an eye-opener because I can tell you when I received them, my eyes popped out because there are people facing issues that are so bad. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be more sensitive. People who come here and go home, there are things they are struggling with. They absolutely need Christ. They really need Christ. All right? And so I want us to keep that open communication whereby everyone care for one another, and you may not share all your problems with someone, but you know what? Find someone whom God has been in your life able to trust. Pray with that person. And then remember, if you have problems in life, Jesus Christ can solve it. But you know what? You have to surrender it to Him first. You have to give it to Him first. Otherwise, there's nothing you can do. You will not be able to get a cure unless we admit we have a problem. Okay? So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Huh? Father, we thank You for this time and for the openness and sharing. And Lord, we pray as a church, we will grow in faith and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for everyone who has made time to come, Lord. I can see many tired faces, but yet, Lord, may our hearts be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit as He teaches us that Your goodness and Your mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And that, Lord, You desire to answer our prayer, but You want us to get our life right and help us, Lord, to be able to partake of the grace You've given to us. Oh God, prayer is a privilege. Help us never to forget that. We pray, God, that for the questions that were asked, Lord, whatever the issue is, Lord, I pray that You know I ask You to give wisdom, give strength, give direction. As a person reads God's Word, I pray You open his mind and her minds and Lord, that Your will be able to be accomplished, Lord, even in that situation. Lord, there's nothing too hard for You. We trust that. We believe that. And God, we're going to ask You, Lord, to intervene where You see fit as our God. We'll thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.